Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, and the first of the Y lines, seven lines down from the top, and we're talking about a statement here of Rabbi Yochanan, and we're talking about different ways of being Marech Shnosav, different categories for which you get rewarded. Take a look on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, just a review, and he says, "Oh, Rabbi Yehuda, Shlosha. I'm sorry, Shlosha Tzrichim Shimur. Oh, here it is. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda, Shlosha Dvarim Shemarich Bahen Marichin Yom Vishnosa. We spoke about Marich Betfila, and now we're up to Marich Al Shulchano. So the Gemara says the following." Dilma Asi Anya V'yoyevle, if he extends his time at the table, maybe a poor person will come and he'll be able to feed him. And even if no one comes, because the Gemara's language is Dilma Asi Anya, he still is zoche to Arichas Yom Mishnosov, because the Pasuk says, in Mishlei Ateres Teferes Shiva Bederech Tztaka Timtza, and it says Bederech Tztaka, so he'll be Zoche to Shiva, which means Arichas Yom, because he's on the Derech Tztaka. I guess it's a concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarif Machshava Kemaisa, that kind of an idea. Dechsiv, now the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel, and the pasuk is referring to the tzura of the Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi Sheibone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows a vision to Yechezkel of the third Beis Hamikdash. Hamizbeach Eitz Sholosh Amos Govoa. And then it says in the next part of that same pasuk, it says, Uksiv Vayidaber Elai Zeh Shulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. So this is very interesting. We started with Mizbeach, now we're up to Shulchan. Very interesting. Pasuk Mizbeach, we'll see him B'Shulchan. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Yamin Chavayu, the Pasuk changes its language to teach us that Shulchanu Shal Adam Domil Mizbeach. Kol Zman She Beis HaMikdash Kayim HaMizbeach Mechaper Al Yisrael V'Yachshav, now we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, Shulchanu Shal Adam Mechaper Olav. So he'll gain kapara through the shulchan. And the shulchan itself is a replacement for the mizbeach. He quotes here, Sifsei Chacham, and the Gemara's proof here is that a marach al shulchan marichan yomav, since the shulchan is called the mizbeach, and the mizbeach was created to be marach yom v'shnosav, that's a Mishnah Masech Midos. That's why the Torah said at the end of Yisro that you don't use Barzel on the Mizbeach. So the Shulchan is also like the Mizbeach. It's Marech Yomav Ushnosov Shal Adam. Then the third case of Rabbi Yehuda is Amarech Bebeis Akise Mial Yusahu. The Gemara is asking a question now. Mial Yusahu, is it really such a great Maila that he's marach bebeis akise v'asadi? We have a brisa that says asara dvar meviim es ha'odom lidei tachtonios, which here the Hebrew calls tchorim, which is what we call hemorrhoids. So 10 different things that bring a person to hemorrhoids, and we'll go through the list. Number one, he has ha'ochel alei kanim, which is the leaves of reeds, possibly constipate you, I don't know, vale gifanim, the leaves of the vine. And then, in the Hebrew, he says, lulavi gifanim are knuknos, hagedelim begefen. And then he has morige behema, which he translates as kol makom bebasar behema she'eino chalak, In other words, it's not smooth, it's rigid. And they're not smooth. So morag is rigid. That's what the word morag means. Now, which portions of the animal are included here in what he calls morig or morigi? He says here, hachich v'aloshon v'akeres apnimi u'beis hakosos. All this you'll find in Rashi. So you're talking about the tongue, the throat, the lining of the stomach. The Marsha has a problem here. He says, it's not logical that the Torah would speak b'shvacho shel Avram Avinu when he gave the Malachi Asharis Lashonos, he gave them tongues when they came to his Ohel, if they can cause tachtonios. So the Marsha says that there's a Rashi in Shabbos that klipas haloshon he basar sheino chalak. So it's only the outer layer of the tongue which is not chalak, and that should be avoided. But the loshon atzma chalaka. So Avram Avinu gave the malachim the loshon atzma, the tongue itself without its lining, without its covering. Okay. What else is on the list? Vishidro. Okay, these are the bones of the spinal column. Not a good idea to eat that. You want to avoid the backbone. Sheldag of a fish. Okay, he doesn't tell you which fish, so I assume, you know, any of the bones of the fish are not a good idea. V'dag maliach, she'en mevushal called sarko. Dag maliach in modern Hebrew is called herring, but literally it's salted fish, and it's less than fully cooked. And he says, the name of the Yavitz, eno nechal machmas milichoso, so it's very salty if it hasn't been cooked, and it's not really edible. Shosa shimre yayin, sediments of wine. Vamakaneach besid ubecharsis. If he uses lime to wipe himself, or a shard of pottery, he calls it in the Hebrew levena ketusha. And he has a question from the Marshal. He doesn't think how you could possibly even use this to clean himself up. It just doesn't make sense. So he quotes another possibility here, that it's susei ra'ofim, pirishahi shchikas charasim, cheres. And I guess once he does the shchika and it's ground, it could be used almost like a powder, but it's not a good idea. He uses a pebble second hand to wipe his tush. This is the main point of our discussion, because we were speaking about marach b'beis hakise. Now we're talking about tola atzmo b'beis hakise yoser midai. Now tola atzmo, he says, ain't a yoshev, he's not sitting. El nishan al birkov, so he's like hanging up his the back of his body, suspending it by putting his feet on the ground and lifting it up in a crouched position. And as a result, nikovav niftachim yosemidai, he opens up his anal opening too wide. And it would seem, therefore, that the arichus beveis akise is not a very good idea. Now the Gemara is going to answer later that tatola atzmo bebeis hakise boli de tachtonios. So it's only when he's tola atzmo. Avala marach bebeis hakise ve'eno tola atzmo, eno boli de tachtonios. So if he's marach but he's not suspended the way we described it, you know, opening his hole wide, so that's not a problem. So the question is, what did the Makshin think? The Braisa here says explicitly that we're talking about Atola Atzma Beis HaKise. It doesn't say Amarach Beis HaKise. So it's not clear exactly what the Makshin was thinking. Maybe the Makshin thought that Marach Beis HaKise is certainly Tola Atzma Beis HaKise, because how can he remain for a long time in the Beis HaKise unless he's Tola Atzma? And the Tarasin tells him, no, you could be Marach even if you're not Tola Atzma, whatever it might be. Let's go on to the Gemara now. The Gemara answers, Lo Kasha Hada Marach V'Toli. If he suspends himself by holding himself up on his, you know, with his feet, with his bent knees, that's not a good idea. But Hada Marach V'Lo Toli, if he's Marach without suspending his body in such a way, then that's okay. Maybe he's sitting on the toilet or whatever he's sitting on. And that's a good idea. Take your time. Don't be in a rush. And it may take a while, but hang in there, as we say. Fine. The Gemara brings a proof now that that this kind of thing is healthy for the body. Ki hodi omrele ahi matrinisa, he calls her a sarad nochrit, some sort of an officer, a female officer in the government. The Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. So she made a very complimentary comment to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Panecha domim le magadle chazirim ulmalve liribis. In other words, you have a certain color, a facial color, a complexion, which is appropriate for people who make a lot of money but don't work hard. Basically, she has two professions on that list. And that is the Megadle Chazirim and the Malve Beribis. And they're very happy people. So your face lights up with happiness. Certainly you are one of these two people. Either you raise pigs or you you lend people with ribbis, and that's going to make you happy. Omar Allah, he says, you know, you're not guessing my profession. Hemnusa Be'amuna, you should have faith. It's almost a Lashon Shvua. Lididi Travayu Asira. Those two professions are completely prohibited to me. The Torah says, "Em Kesef Talvis Ami," etc. etc. Lo Tialo Kinosha Tiso Simon Alav Neshech Altikach Miito Neshechum Vitarbis. So we don't lend money but ribis. And the Isser of being Megadol Chazirim of pig breeders, that's clarified in Baba Kama. And actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Ella, but if you're asking why I have a happy face, the reason is because Esrim V'Arba Beis HaKise Ika Bushpi Zai Lebei Midrasha. In other words, on the way from the Beis Medrash, on my road, on my pass by 24 Beis HaKiseis, until I get to Mashpizai, means the apartment, the flat in which I live, Udechi Azilna, and out my way, but Diknen Afshoi Bechulu, as if to say, I go into each one of these bathrooms to check myself out to see if I have to make. And that's great, because that's the healthiest way of doing it, that as soon as you have to make, you make. Now this Maisa of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Loi is not a proof for the Gemara before about being Marech Bebeis HaKise when he's not Tola Atzmo, because that's not here clarified in the words of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Loi. But the Gemara is bringing this Maisa to prove this main point over here, that there is a mile of being Marech Bebeis HaKise, because just like there's a maila, there's something healthy about being bodek atzmo kam pa'amim, and that lit up his face, as we said, so to a marach beveis akise will also come lidei brias aguf, because he's going to make sure that when he has to go, he goes. Fine. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda makes this statement about checking himself out so many times in all these 24 outhouses, he's basically saying that he spends a lot of time in the bathroom, and not that there's a single session, but he dedicates a lot of time to this practice of checking himself out. A new statement from Rabbi Yehuda. V'omar Rabbi Yehuda, shlosha dvarim akatsrim yomav ushnosav shel adam. Until now we've been talking about being marech, shnosav, now we're talking about the opposite. What is going to cut down his life? Number one, misha nosim lo sefer Torah likros v'eino kore. Now, what does that mean? Nosnim lo sefer Torah likros. He's talking about kriyas haTorah. Is he talking about the public reading of the Torah? So, in my translation here, it says, "Korin oso lalos lekriyas haTorah." V'yena ole. He doesn't want to go up to read the Torah. That he's like, in a sense, insulting the sefer Torah. Number two is Nosnim lo kos shel bracha levarech v'yeno mevarech. They want to honor him with the bracha of Birkas HaMazon at the end of the meal, and they give him the kos, and he refuses to take it. And three, finally, Hamadlik Hamanhig Atzmo Birabonus. Rabonus means srara, kind of lording it over other people, and that's not going to be good. This kind of authority, we'll soon see that even Yosef was taken to task for this kind of manig atzmo bir rabbonus. And there's a comment here that we're talking about manig atzmo bir rabbonus gam bitzina is mekatzim yom of shinosov. Or he says the Avol Mutul Hanigatzo Birabonis Bifarhesi Kagonosi Shinoeg Varabim Minhage Nisius. It means that this is not an absolute rule that should be read superficially. There are situations in which Manig Atzmo Birabonus is the way to go. So, for example, if a person doesn't want to do malach, he says, it's below my dignity. He gives himself a pab and a sense of false authority. That's unacceptable. But on the other hand, you can have a situation of someone who is manig atzo birabonus bifarhesya, because he is in that position. He was, elected to be the leader of the town, and in order that the people do what he asks them to do, or they have to give respect to him as the leader of the town, he was manigasubi rabbonus, which means that he exercised a kind of authority. And that's acceptable out there in the public eye when that's his role and that's his responsibility. Now, if he was appointed as the rav of the town, then he has to be noeg b'rabbonus. That's for sure. As mutul inog atzmo b'rabbonus. But if he was manig atzmo b'sro rabbonus bal korcham, if he thrusts himself upon the people in the kol, Shalom Ertzonim, they don't have any interest in his doing so. He lords it over them, and he's very bossy, he's very aggressive, and he is a person that you could describe as, what word could we use? He's authoritative, maybe we could use that word. That's something that that's unacceptable. Now, the common link here between all three cases that we mentioned, he doesn't want to take the Sefer Torah, you know, he doesn't want to take the Kosher Bracha, and he's very authoritative, is Gaiva. And basically, he doesn't want to read the Torah, it's like below his dignity, let somebody else get the Aliyah. Or, you know, they give him a Kosher Bracha, and he doesn't want to take it. And the Meiri writes here that Royal Olam Lashpil Satsmo Kineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kineged Amo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is a pitch for Anova, for being a humble person, for the Midah of humility. Because all this is Gaiva here. And that's Mekatzrim Yomav Ushnosav Shel Adam. Now, I'm a little bit confused about the double language here, Mekatzrim Yomav Ushnosav Shel Adam. So if you hear anything about that, let me know. And then the Gemara says that Sefer Torah Likros V'Eino Kore D'Chsiv Ki Hu Chayecha V'Yorch Yomecha. The Torah is described in Sefer Dvarim as Chayecha, Orech Yomecha. So if you're going to refuse Torah, then Makatsrim Yomav Ushnosav Shalom Koshal Brach Levarich Venu Mevarich Tichsiv. It says in Bereishis Yud Beis Vavarcha Mevarachecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm going to bless those who bless Avram and his children, or his children. So you see that the Oreach has to be mevarech birkas hamazon ala kos with an additional bracha for the baal bais. And if he refuses to be mevarech, then eino mizbarech, it will not be blessed. But if he blesses others, then he will be blessed, and that's vavarecha mevarchecha. So he who doesn't want to take the kosher bracha also, to some extent, fits into this category. I don't see it as a perfect analogy. You know, the fact that he doesn't want to bench and be the leader for the Zimun, I don't know if that's the same as someone who refuses to give brachos to other people. Like, for example, the Oreach, who's meant to integrate a bracha for the Baal Bais into the fabric of his benching. So that if you mevarach someone else, then you're mizbarech. So that's what the Torah says in Avarcha Mevarecha, that he who blesses Avram will be blessed. And in the Koshel Bracha, basically, they're asking him to lead the benching and give a bracha to the Baal Bais, to the host. And he refuses to do so. So that's why is Mekatzrim Yomav Ushnosav. He has a note here that what's the right from this pasuk that Mishainu Mevarech Avram Lizaro Mekatzrim Yomav Efsha Shechak Misha Nemar La Behem Shecha Pasuk Shom Mekal Alecha Or. I mean, if he refuses to bless Avram Avinu, so he won't be rewarded, but he won't be cursed for it. Because the pasuk that we're dealing with says that, you know, those who will curse you is Aor, I will curse them. So this is the kasha that we're asking over here. Why is somebody who just doesn't bestow a bracha, why is he considered perhaps to, you know, he's worthy of a klola, mekatzrim yomav ushnosav? So perhaps we could suggest the following. When the pasuk says Mivarechecha, it's telling us that anyone who's not Bechlal Mivarechecha, meaning he doesn't take the opportunity to bless Abraham, then we apply the principle of Yitzchak. Yitzchak says, Arecha Arur, Umavarecha Baruch. In other words, this pasuk is certainly written in a certain sequence to teach us that if he doesn't make the bracha, then he's considered or included in the klala. Umakalecha or. Now, why is it that someone who doesn't want to be mevarech is mekatzim yomav? So the Marsha suggests that bekach sheinu rotze levarech hareyu mara biatzmo sheinu chofetz shakadosh baruch hu yivarecho. Kishem sha mevarech es misha mevarech es Avraham Avinu, then he gets the divine blessing. Lachem mitzkatzim lo ashonim shenis katzvu lo. That's what we have here. Now we go on, and the Gemara says, "Shamanig atzum v'rabbanus." Why is mekatzim yom? Where do we know that from? The Omer of Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina mipnei ma meis Yosef kodem li'echov. So Yosef dies at the age of 110, and the other shvatim reach 120. And the answer is mipnei shehinig atzmo v'rabbanus. And we learn from this that Misha Mani Gatsum Barbonus is Makatsum Yomov. And what does he mean by Mace Yosef Kodim Liachov? Okay, that we mentioned before. And Yosef died considerably earlier than the brothers did. Mipnesha Hinig Atzmo Barbonus. What's Hinig Atzmo Barbonus with regard to Yosef Atzadik? So he has a note here from the Marsha, but if I understand the Marsha correctly, we're going to have to go through it inside at some point. What we're dealing with is that a number of times in the presence of Yosef, his father was mentioned. And very often, in the presence of Yosef, the brothers say, Avdecha, and they're referring to Yaakov Avinu. And Yosef lets it go by without any objection. Again, Pashtus, he lets it go by because he hasn't yet revealed himself to his brothers. In any event, this is a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, so that has to be understood. There are three categories of people that, because of their very nature, and it's not always people, because we can get a shana here, but is they need to be mevakesh rachamim. And melech tov, shana tova, and chalom tov. So a good king, a good year, and a good dream. And these are all things that are in the hands of the Ribono Shel Olam. No one could bring it about without the reshus of the Ribono Shel Olam. So it's kedai here in these three cases to be mavakesh aleihem, to pray. Now you may ask, what's unique about these three? Because hakol bidei shamayim, everything belongs to Hashem. But nevertheless, on these three, maybe we should be mevakesh rachamim in a special way at the beginning of the year, because at the beginning of the year, that's what's going to, our lives for the next year will be determined. So therefore, shana tova means that with regard to Rosh Hashanah, we want to bless someone with the blessing of shana tova. We want to pray for shana tova, and that's bakoshas racham. In Melech Tov, also, his inyoni malchus are determined on Rosh Hashanah, because that's the year in which Bnei Yisrael are in a very special position, are beloved to Hashem, and they are brought in front of the heavenly courts for a judgment. And that's why Yom Rosh Hashanah is called Malchus. Everything about Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. HaKadosh Baruch is the Melech Malchi Amlecha, Melech HaKadosh, Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Because the Seder, the sequence of Hanhagas Malchus in this world is a Seder of Ke'en Hanhagas HaMalchus Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bi'olam HaElyon. So what we're seeing down here is a microcosm or a slight, smaller mirror image of what goes on up in Shemayim. Therefore, on this day, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Koveya in Yoni Malchus in this world, we should be Mavakish Rachamim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us, appoint for us a Melech Tov. And as you and I know, in America, you know, this is a crazy election campaign. And as far as I can tell, the Melech today is a Melech Tov in America. I don't think we would want to pray at all that he should be replaced. There are other interpretations that these three things that we're talking about of Melech, Shana, and Chalom have nothing to do with the din of Rosh Hashanah. Kol Hashanah Bershusa Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we have to ask Hashem, being Mevakesh Rachma Aleihem B'Meshach Kol HaShanah. This is not just a one-day business on Rosh Hashanah. Melech Tov, how do we know that we need Bakashas Rachamim for Melech Tov D'Chsiv? It says in Mishle, Palge Mayim Lev Melech B'Yad Hashem. The splitting of the waters, but the heart of the king of a king is in the hands of Hashem, directly in Hashem's hands. And like streams of water is the heart of a king in the hand of Hashem. Wow. Pasuk in Mishlei. Kishem Shehem Biad Adam Lahatosam Lamokam Shiyirtze is Kach Lev Melech Hu Biad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Latoso El Kol Asher Yichpots Lachin Tzorch Levakesh Al Kach Rachamim. What does he mean when he says Hem Biyadei Adam Lehatosam Lemakom Sheyirtze Palgi Mayim Lev Melech Biyad Hashem? So the heart of the king is compared to these Palgi Mayim, and what we're saying is that, just 1 second here, oh, just like the streams of water are in the hands of man, he can divert the water to any place he wants to irrigate his fields, so too, like the Palgei Mayim, the streams of water that are in a man's hand, so to the Lev Melech, the heart of the king, is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by virtue of this simile of Mishle. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mate, he can re-channel and direct the heart of the king in any direction that he, with a capital H, would like to. Shana Tova, where's the source that you have to be Mavakesh for Shana Tova? That's in Dvarim Perek Yud Aleph about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresho So Tamid Eini Hashem Elokecha Ba Merishis Hashana V'Yad Achris Hashana. And from this we learn that you have to be Mavakish Rachamim, that it should be a good year. And the pasuk itself means that Tamid Eini Hashem Elokecha Ba, God has always got his eye on the land to see what its needs are, and to enact whether it be gzeros or whatever is necessary, itim letova v'itim l'ra'a. Some of the gzeros will be letova, and some will be l'ra'a. And this is all going on mireishis hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah until the end of the year. It would seem from this statement in the Gemara that anytime a person has to be Vakish Rachman for a good year, it's not necessarily derived from this Pasuk itself, because we're talking about anywhere on the face of the earth. The Pasuk itself is only referring to Eretz Yisrael. And then Chalom Tov, we have to pray for a good dream, Kasher Chizkia, Nirpa Micholio, after Yirmiyahu was very ill, was granted, so to speak, a new lease on life, I think it was another 15 years, then he was mispalta Kodesh Baruch when he said the following, V'tachalimeni V'hachayeni. Now V'tachalimeni is a lashon of chalom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring him a good, bring upon him a good dream. And a chalom is something that's masur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we should be mevakesh rachamim for a good dream. Good dreams also give life. Now the Gemara has another statement, this time from Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Dvarim Machriz Aleihem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bi'atzmo V'Elu Hein Ra'av V'Sova U'Farnas Tov. So this is something that comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Machriz Bi'atzmo, and on three things specifically, because sometimes his Hanhaga is tamua bidei anoshim. People don't realize, they don't appreciate the way God is running the world. Why is it that so and so is wealthy? So and so is starving he's wasting away because he's so hungry. And parnas tov means that often people don't understand why is this person, a little gedula, why is this person, on easy street, and this one is suffering? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes achroza, he personally, bi'atzmo, to tell them, to tell all the people, that everything that happens is mimeni yotza. That although you may not understand the tam and the reason for everything, but there is a tam and a rhyme and a reason to it. So let's just offer two approaches to understand Rabbi Yochanan's statement about these three categories of Ra'av, Sova, Uparnos. The first approach would be to say that God has to make this declaration himself, because people are very confused. They see Ra'av, they see Sova, they see Parnos, and sometimes the Parnos is Ola Gedula, the people are not Ola Gedula. Why is there Sova, why is there Ros? And they have all sorts of questions. HaKadosh Baruch has to tell them, I'm behind it all. Mimenu Yatsu, everything happened, there's a reason for it all. And the second approach is that when it says Hashem has to personally be Machriz, he has to make this Achroz himself, this is a Hemshech of actually what we saw before, that there are certain things that are not determined on Rosh Hashanah, but rather there's an ongoing hashgacha, meaning God is manig, he's determining on an ongoing basis certain things. And for example, what's Biyad Hashem during the entire year? One thing is Ra'av, another thing is Sova, and finally the Parnos. These are things that are not given over. Like sometimes if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would determine on Rosh Hashanah, then he gives it over to the Malachi Asharis to implement his decisions in the heavenly courts on Rosh Hashanah. But here, these are in Yonim, which the Hanhaga themselves always remain in the hands of Hashem. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Machriz Bi'atzmo. Ra'av Dechsiv, this is in Malachim with regard to Elisha. Elisha diber ela isha sher hechya es bina lemakumi ulechi at uveisech viguri kasher basher taguri ki kara Hashem l'ra'av v'gamba ela aret shavashonim. Kodesh Baruch himself pronounces and declares the ra'av sova d'chsiv pasukin yechezkel. In the Vuas Nechezkel on the Asid Lavo, he says, V'karasi el adagan v'herbesi osov v'latein aleichem ra'av. Harei HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is machriz on Sova, not famine in this case, but on the contrary, we're talking about plenty. And finally, Parnas Tov, God is going to declare the Parnas Tov, as it says, with regard to Bezalel, who was appointed to be in charge of the Melechas HaMishkan, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Limar Re'ei, Karasi B'Shem Bezalel, etc., etc. Karasi means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Machriz B'Atzmo, about the Parnas Tov, the leader of Klal Yisrael, in this case Bezalel, who's in charge, Memuna al Melechas HaMishkan. God commands Moshe to appoint Mitzal Amalechas HaMishpan Re'ei Karasi B'Shem Mitzal Ben Uri Ben Chur L'Mate Yehuda Hamaleos Ruach Elokim B'Chachma B'Tuna B'Das B'Chol Moloch Halakshah Machshavos, etc., etc. And this is all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hachraza to notify about the appointed leader over the community. Omer Rav Yitzchak, Ein Mamidim Parnas Al Tzibur Elam Kein Nimlochim Batzibur. First we have to get the Tzibur on board. And that means that we have to consult with the Tzibur Shenemar, Re'u Kara Shem B'Shem Bitzalel. And what are we talking about here? The word Re'u means consider the appointment of Bezalel, and God is asking Moshe to consider the appointment of Bezalel, and Moshe is going to make the same request of the people that they should consider appointing Bezalel. And we're going to see that the opinions of both Moshe and the people of Israel were solicited before Bezalel was appointed, because Elim Kein Nimlochim Betzibur. So let's once again through the Psukim. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Moshe, hagun alecha Bezalel? Do you consider Bezalel the best choice? Is he worthy of this choice? And then, Amar lo, Moshe says in response, Ribono Shalom, im lefanecha hagun lefanai lo kol shken. If in your eyes he's worthy, then how much more so in my eyes? Amar lo, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, afal pichein emor lehem. I want you to go to the people of Israel and get their agreement, their consent. Amar lehem liyisrael holach, v'yomer Moshe goes and asks the people of Israel, hagun aleichem Bezalel, amru lo, im lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ulefanecha hu gogin, in front of God and in front of you, Moshe, is lefaneinu lo kol shken, how much more so for us. You see that Moshe and the people were solicited their opinion before Bezalel was appointed. And according to some of the Achron we had mentioned earlier, the Adavid, you could ask, what is the Chiddush here that we have to be Nimlach Betzibur? Mi Yamid Es HaParnos Im Lo HaTzibur? Who's going to appoint him if not the Tzibur? And the answer is maybe Bezdin would appoint, or Moshe Rabbeinu representing Bezdin. So the Gemara says, nay, we have to get the consent of Klal Yisrael, of the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. Now, why is it that we need to discuss with the Tzibur, and what word should we use? We should solicit the agreement of the Tzibur. So Marsha writes that since in Sanhedrin it says, based on the pasuk in Devarim Aleph, Atzaves Chem Ba'is Ahi, Azhar Letzibur Shetia Emes Hadayin Alehem. And therefore he says here that Ema Midim Parnas Al Etzibur El Kem Nochem Bohem, that we have to invoke the agreement of and solicit the agreement of the Tzibur. Im yuchlu lekablo, can they or will they accept him? Mitei mosei lehem, so that their fear and awe would be upon them. And if the tzibur agrees to this choice, then the minui is absolutely binding. He'll be a shofet aleichem. His dvarim will be mekubalim. We will accept his words and mitzaisin lepiske dino, and we will obey his final decisions. Omer Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omer Rav Yonason, Bezalel al Shem Chachmaso Nikra. The Gemara actually quotes this Maimar here that we shouldn't think that Bezalel was called Bezalel because he was appointed Bezalel Kel Al-Yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bi'atzmo without soliciting the agreement of the Tzibur, which would mean that this was a unique minui that was done without soliciting the agreement of the Tzibur. And the answer is that that's not possible, because we've already explained that even the minui of Bezalel was only after Nimlach Imat Tzibur. So the Gemara therefore has to explain that the name of Bezalel is Al Shem Chachmasa. B'shosh Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Lecha Amar Lo LeBezalel Asei Li Mishkan Aron VeKelim. Like for example, the Shulchan of Menorah. Holach Moshe VaHafach VeYamar Lo. He changed the order and he said to Bezalel Asei Aron VeKelim UMishkan. Amalo Moshe Rabbeinu min Hago Shal Olam Anam Bone Bayis V'Akach Machnis L'Socho Kelim V'Ata Omer Aseli Aron V'Kelim. And then afterwards Mishkan, you know, first you build a house, the Mishkan should be up, and then you build the Kelim and you bring in the Kelim into a house. So therefore Bezalel doesn't understand the sequence that Moshe is giving him to create an Aron, to create Kelim, and then to create a Mishkan. We should begin with the Mishkan. And at this point, Bezalel makes the following comment. He says, Kelim shani osa lehechanach nisan, shemo kach omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu asei Mishkan Aron v'kelim. Amar lo, Moshe says, Shema Bezalel Kel Ayisa V'yadata. Which means that Moshe Rabbeinu admits that this sequence that he gave Bezalel was not the same as the one he got from the Ribono Shel Olam. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Aseli Mishkan, Aron V'Kelim. And Moshe turns it around, he says, Aron V'Kelim and Mishkan. So, Shema Bezalel Kel Ha'isa V'Yadata. Did you, let's say, exist, so to speak, in the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is how you knew it? You know, you were somehow imbued with the spirit of Ruach HaKodesh, and that's how you knew that first, according to the will of God, you should build a Mishkan and then only afterwards bring in the Kelim. That's what we have. This is the brilliance of Bezalel. Interesting that Moshe actually deviated from the sequence that God instructed him. This is very strange. Unless he was testing Bezalel to see if Bezalel could come up with the right sequence based on Ruach HaKodesh. And basically Moshe wanted the entire people of Israel to recognize that Bezalel was invested with Ruach HaKodesh. Bezalel knew how to link up and delve into the meaning of the letters of the Torah with which heaven and earth were created. And how you date Tzirufam, you know, that you join and link up letters here and letters there, this letter with that letter, until you're able to create a world. Heaven and earth. Rashi points out that there's a book called Sefer Yetzirah, and there you could find all these tzirufim. How do you connect letters and words, create worlds? Now, with regard to Bezalel, the Gemara wants to prove that he was Mitzarif Osios. Ksiv Hacha, it says here in Perek Lamed Hey, it says, Vayimali Oso Ruach Elokim Bechachma Betvuna Bedas U'Bechol Malacha. And with regarding Birka Brias Shamayim Va'aretz, it says over there, Mishle Hashem Bechachma Yasad Eretz Konen Shamayim Bisvuna. That Hashem founded the earth with wisdom, He established the heavens with understanding. Pasuk in Mishle. Uksiv, and it says with regard to Brias HaOlam, Bidaito Tahomos Nivku, through his knowledge the depths were cleaved. So Bezalel was therefore endowed with these attributes of Chachma, of understanding, of knowledge, Bina, Vidas, that were used for the creation of the world. Let's take a look at the Mitzudas David on this Pasuk in Mishle. He writes, Kavanas aposiki shebedaito shal kodesh baruch hu nivku hatahomos mitachas laoretz shebehem nimtzoim amayonos hanovim mayim. God opened up the tahomos, the depths of the earth, from the beginning of Oretz, and deep down below the surf level of the Oretz, shebehem, in these tahomos, we find the mayonos, the springs that shall I say, bring water to the entire world. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, we saw, was given a certain sequence, and he changed it, but Bezalel did it according to the sequence that was meant to be. And what does it mean when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan Tchila? Tchila. Well, what's Tchila here? Because it doesn't make any sense if the Asiyas HaMishkan is going to come before the Asiyas HaKelim. What's the purpose of setting up the Mishkan? Right, we the psukim go out of the way to say that Moshe was making the missi. He was the one who lifted up the Mishkan. And if that be the case, then when Moshe lifted up the Mishkan, that was after the Gemara Asiyas HaKelim. So it's still impossible to be machdis Kelim into the Mikdash, into the Mishkan. So when this taina comes up here, kelim shani oseh leheichan achnisem, that taina still remains in its place. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu had completed the asiyas hamishkan, but then there's something called hakamas hamishkan, and even before the hakamas hamishkan, the kelim were complete. So where did the kelim go? You know, this was the taina of Bezalel. So what is the answer to that taina? And it means, I think, that if he would have made the Mishkan before the Asiyas HaMishkan, the Kelim before the Asiyas HaMishkan, then where would we put the Kelim? That would be Ma'akev, or that would delay the process until after Asiyas HaMishkan and Hakamos HaMishkan. But now that we did the Mishkan first, then he could do the Hakama Miyad Liachar Gemar Melechas HaKelim. As soon as the kelim are complete, that's when he'll do the gemar. The hachnasa is not going to be misakiv that much, and that's fine. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu nosein chachma l'mishi yesh bo chachma. This is a vicious cycle. In other words, even the first chachma the person has is given by Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and when it's given to him, he didn't have any chachma whatsoever. So how can the Gemara possibly say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives chachma to someone who has chachma? Where would you start from? Where's the original chachma? So the Gemara, I think, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give chachma until he knows that he has a special person upon whom to bestow chachma. And that's a person who has chachma upikhus li'inyon derech eretz u'mus. It's all about the raw potential and the propensity towards derech eretz and mus. The davar zeh eino me'akodesh baruch elo hu b'yad ha'adam, right? Hakol b'idei shamayim. And when a person has this chachma, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him chachmas haTorah, once he gets beyond the first stage of natural chokhmah, so to speak, and then on top he will receive the Torah itself. Shenemar, we know from a pasuk, Yohev chachmasa lechakimin, you bestow wisdom on those who know and have understanding. And this is a pasuk in Sefer Daniel. Again, the only kasha is, as the Nefesh HaChaim asks it, if Hashem gives wisdom to those already wise, but how did they become wise in the first place? How did they get the initial wisdom? And we said, suggested that the initial wisdom came from man himself. Umanda'a liyode bina. Which means that that he gives knowledge to those who know understanding. Shoma Tachlifa bar Marava, Rav Tachlifa came from Eretz Yisrael, and he heard this, the Shmuel, V'amri kamei de Rabbi Avo, and he said it over in front of Rabbi Avo. Omer le, Rabbi Avo responded, Atun mehosa masnisola, you B'nei Eretz Yisrael, you learn it from the pasuk Yohav Chachmasa lechakimin Anan mihocha Masisa. We derive it here in Bavel from a different pasuk in Shmos. It says Mirchsiv Melechas Hamishkan Ubelev Kol Chacham Lev Nasati Chachma. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Chachma only to someone who is already a Chacham beforehand. And when you said, you declared that that you can derive it from the pasuk of B'melech HaSamishkan B'lev Kol Chacham Lev Nasati Chachma, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives Chachma to someone who has Chachma, so it means that Rabbi Avo would prefer to derive from this pasuk, which is in the Torah, rather than derive it from the pasuk in Nevi'im of Yoav Chachmasa. Rabbi Yochanan did not derive it from this pasuk, even though it's a pasuk in the Torah, because it says Nasati Chachma in the past tense. So you could say that what the pasuk has in mind is that the lev of an ish at that particular moment was a Chacham Lev, and that was given even before Chachma, right? So what does this mean, Chacham Lev? The reason why Rabbi Yochanan prefers to derive this conclusion from the Pasuk in Daniel, as opposed to Rav Tachlifa, he derives it from Pasuk in Chumash, Ubelev Kol Chacham Lev Nasati Chachma, because if you only had the Pasuk in Chumash, so then it would not be crystal clear. It's what we want to derive here from the pasuk in Daniel is that Hashem gave Chachma before a person became a Chacham Lev. Correct? And what it means is the following. In the pasuk in Shmos, where it says, Nasati Chachma, and that's in the past tense, you could say that the pasuk is referring to the Lev Ish that is now a Chacham. I gave him before that Chachma, so that he would reach the level of a Chacham Lev. And then you would not be able to prove our conclusion. You would have interpreted that in the Lev of someone who's now a Chacham Lev, God says, I gave him before that Chachma, until he became a Chacham Lev, on his own, so to speak. But in the Pasuk of Daniel, Yoiv Chachmas Lechachimin, it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Chachma to someone who was a Chacham before that. Because it says, Yoiv Chachmas Lechachimin. In any event, let's go on to Rav Chisda. And he's talking about the case of a chalom. And as one of the things that require rachmim, as we learned earlier, is a good dream. Omer Rav Chisda, kol chalom v'lo bitvas which any chalom that appears to a person, except with the exception of lo yira chalom shutzoch lashos, he should not have to see he should not ever experience seeing a dream which would cause him to take upon himself a fast. In other words, a bad omen, a bad dream brings a person to fasting. So here the supplication to Hashem is that we shouldn't have to chas v'shalom have those terrible nightmares. And basically what we're saying here, just to reiterate, is that a dream of a lo tavas, but not a dream of fasting. Those, let me dream any dreams, but not a dream of fasting, because if I dream of fasting, then it might mean that if in, let's say, my dream I would see myself fasting, that's not a good sign. Now, this word tavas is a word which is explained as every dream. In other words, every dream has some meaning to it, but not if one dreams while he's fasting. Okay, that's a different way of understanding it. He's not being portrayed as fasting, but he saw the dream while he was fasting. Not that he's fasting in the dream. And this is not a good omen. Okay, so we haven't yet, discussed chalomos. I mean, that's quite a sugya. Now, the Gemara is going to bring a whole string of statements of Rav Chisda with regard to chalomos. The Omer Rav Chisda, chalma de lo mefasher, in other words, if they didn't interpret the dream, is ki igarta de lo mikri, it's like an igeres, you got a letter or an aerogram, and it was not read. And that's not good and not evil. It's kind of right in the middle, it's neutral. Because the chalomos, we're going to have a principle called kol chalomos holchim achar pitaron. And if there was never a pitaron, if nobody ever interpreted the dream, then ain't a klum, it's not a chalom at all. Next, so the first statement is like an igarta delo mikri. I'm not exactly sure what Rav Chisda is teaching us here. Let me just read to you, just one second. Okay, so the Gemara is going to say that all dreams depend upon how you interpret the dream. And again, I'm not exactly clear. Let's go over this one more time. What is he telling me? It's basically, he doesn't need the tzustel here to an igeres shelo karu es akosubo, which means it's neither this way nor that way. But he's using that just to point out that if this dream has not been interpreted, then it's not worth your time to even think about it. The Omer Rav Chisda lo chalma tova mekayim kule v'lo chalma bisha mekayim kule. No chalom, whether it's evil or whether it's good, is going to be miskayim kulo. That meaning every single part of the dream will come to fruition. And this is based on the principle of fisha ein chalom below dvarim betalim. Certain elements in your dream are just simply dvarim betalim. They're not ra, they're not good, they're just meaningless. Now, when I say meaningless, what I mean is it's not miskayim kule. So it's. I shouldn't use the word meaningless, because that's an extreme word. There is meaning to a dream, and parts of the dream will in fact come to fruition. The Yom Rav Chisda Chelma Bisha Adif Mi Chelma Tova. Here's something that's counterintuitive. A bad dream is better than a good dream. And the answer to this is because it brings a person to the tshuva, so that chalom is meaningful. The Yom Rav Chisda Chelma Bisha Atzivuse Mistaye. A bad dream, it's enough that it'll be misbatel because a person is getting upset about it. He sees this bad dream and he's atzev, you know, he's disappointed. And if that be the case, then the dream itself is batel, because what was the purpose of the dream? The purpose of the dream was to bring a person to a state of sadness. And if that be the case, then we can consider as if the inyan ra that was in the dream was already miskayim, because he suffered that, you know, that element. So let's go over the last point over here. He says that I'll read it to you again as soon as I can find it. Sorry, he says. A negative dream is better than a positive dream, as we said before, because it brings a person to tshuva. And then he writes that a negative dream, its sadness suffices for it. For a positive dream, its joy suffices for it. So the two sides of a corner. So the sadness that a dreamer experiences, if he has a bad dream, that itself is a kapara, and he doesn't have to, Baruch Hashem, he doesn't have to see that bad dream come to fruition. And the flip side of it is, if somebody experiences joy in the wake of a good dream, that itself is reward, and there's no need for him to wait for reward in the future, the Olam Haba. The Marsha has a different explanation of this Gemara. He thinks the sadness experienced by the dreamer is in itself a fulfillment of the dreamer's ill portent, and the happiness brought about a good dream is in itself the reward foretold in the person's vision. Amar Rav Chisda. Now, first we have a statement here of Rav Yosef. Just 1 second. Do we do this Gemara? Just Cholma Bisha Tzivusi of a Cholma Tova Chedvi Fine. Over Rav Yosef, Cholma Tova Afilu Didi Bidichuse Mefakechale. Even for me, because Rav Yosef was a blind person, these jokes, Bidichos Adas, Sheesh Le Mechalo, Misbatel Velo Miskayim Klal. So it means that according to this statement of Rav Yosef, even for me, when I dream a positive dream, it's nullified by its joy. Now, what exactly does that mean? It's nullified by its joy. And he says here in the note that the sadness. Yeah, that was just 1 second that we did already. But what's positive dream? Suffices. I see. So the word suffices means that whatever suffering he needed to suffer, that he's already experienced that. The Omer of Chizda Chalma Bisha Kasha Minagda. A bad dream is worse for the body than malchus, than getting malchus, getting flagellations. Lafisha doig me, man, because he's in a constant state of fear, of worry, as a result of the bad dream that he had. So this bad dream is kasha legufazam yosemimakas. And maybe because of his angst, you know, waiting to see when this terrible dream will chasam come to fruition. And this is derived from the pasuk Elokim asa sheyiru milafanav yomer Rab Barchanam Rab Yochanan zechalom ra shakadosh baruch hu mevi al haadam Kidei she'ira mimenu v'yoshev b'tshuva. So a bad dream is also akim she'ira milfanov, and it's going to bring him back to tshuva, mirtz Hashem. So B'li Neder will stop here with another statement here about dreams, and that's Hanavi Asher Ito Chalom Yisaper Chalom. So let's just see. It's four lines up before the end of the Om.